Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Coping to Hoping podcast. This podcast is dedicated to having a dialogue on mental health issues that we face in our day-to-day lives. It's really about finding a forum where we can learn about the various forms of the challenges that we have and how we can collectively cope with it as a team. Each episode, we will discuss a separate topic. And we will be having a dialogue with my co-host, Dr. J, who is a child and adolescent psychiatrist, also who practices in the greater Houston, Texas area, and also sees adults as well. I'm Mohammed Sadat, and I will be co-hosting the show along with her, but she's the real main star for this episode, and I hope and my aspiration is that we gain from our experiences, and collectively we can support each other. So today we'll be talking about bullying. As you know, recently we saw a video that went viral with a Australian boy who suffered from bullying, and but with the positive, it ended on a positive note with the folks around the world rallying around that person, that kid. But many of us are not very fortunate in that situation. And daily we hear about stories where people have, where kids have taken a drastic decision because of the intensity of bullying. So really, this is very close to a lot of us, and I wanted to make sure that we can have a discussion on that. So with that, I will bring Dr. J in the podcast. Hello, Dr. J. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Well, thank you for taking the time. I know based on my association with you, how deeply you feel about the mental health challenges that not only kids but also adults face as well. So I'm very excited to have you talk to us. Let me just kick it off by asking around, you know, just give us a sense of what is really bullying, and what are the different forms of bullying.
So, you know, before we go there, I just kind of want to thank you for taking this initiative, because I feel like I see patients day to day in my office, and I try my level best for my voice to be heard, for people to not consider mental health issues as a stigma, and to get up, be aware of their emotions, be cognizant of whatever they're feeling. And if they feel like their feelings and emotions are affecting their day to day living and their social interactions, then get up and seek help. I just want to reiterate that there is help out there. You have to ask for it. Bullying is a very, very important topic. It is also a little close to my heart, because as a child, I was bullied as well in school. And growing up in Pakistan, you know, that was not even considered to be anything. We just had to get up every day and go to school. So, you know, having said that, bullying is, you know, of course, you can look up the dictionary and look up the definition of bullying, which basically is any kind of a physical, verbal, or social aggression to somebody considered weak. Now, why do people do it? You know, they usually suggest that people do this because there is some kind of imbalance power, right? So somebody who is a bullier, somebody who bullies, and the child who is getting bullied. So it is common in all across the board, not necessarily amongst children. I feel like in this time and age, it's there in workplace, it's there. We don't use that term often, but even in political scenarios, bullying is very much there, rampant all across the boards. So the most important thing is to identify what bullying is, what it can do to your child. I'm going to first talk about children, and then we can always, you know, move further, taking adults into consideration as well. what bullying is doing to your child, what are the signs and symptoms, what is it that we need as parents, because I'm a mother of three small kids as well, and to identify the signs and the red flags that your child may be experiencing, or to pick up on those and to act. So that's really, I feel, is the most important thing. So as I said, bullying is a form of aggression, right? So it could be anything. It could be your words. It could be physical aggression. Nowadays, social media, I feel like, you know, because you're not actually facing the person. So it's very, very easy to say mean things behind a closed computer screen. So you would not see what you, it's very easy for you to say what you need to say rather than actually face it. So that's really, I feel, is should be the starting point.
No, thank you. So could you just double click on the types of cases you see in your practice, and what are some of the forms of bullying that you're encountering? If you could give us some examples, obviously, you know, for patient confidentiality reasons, we cannot disclose names. But I just wanted to double click and just really understand what are the types of cases you have recently seen in your practice.
So you know, it's very interesting. I feel like that's a very important question, because 50 to 60% of the patients that I see in my practice have experienced bullying in certain stages of their lives. And it varies differently. So for example, for elementary school patients, it's more like verbal aggression, because you know, they don't really feel very powerful that they can use physical aggression to hurt those kids. I had this one fifth grader who was, the parents came in to see me, and he was just being called names because he was overweight. And you know, one of your weakness, so being underweight, being overweight, wearing glasses, not wearing glasses, the way you talk, somebody who has a lisp or a stammer, any weakness that is perceived as weakness is then used again, can be used against you, and can be used as a reason to you know, talk down upon and to tease you or to bully you. So this poor fifth grader was overweight, and he was very, very well aware of that, and that became his weakness, and it started affecting his grades. It started affecting, and it all started actually, interestingly, that he didn't want to go to school. And previously, happy child, didn't want to go to school, would come up in the morning with excuses, like I have stomach pains or, you know, headaches, and refusing to dress up and go to school. So, you know, that's where I feel like it's important for parents to talk to their kids and to have a conversation with them to find out what is the reason this child is refusing to go to school.
So let me get so I think this is a good segue into the next question, really around, you know, what is the role of parents and caregivers in helping their child deal with it? I know you talked about communication. I know you talked about talking to them, but let's get into more of the specifics on what types of communication, what tools that can the parents use to have that kind of conversation without the kids feeling going on the defensive.
So, you know, as I told you, I have three kids of my own, and they all vary in ages, 6 through 10. And, you know, as a working mother myself, you know, we are all working parents, most of us, even if we are not we don't have a career, for moms who, there's still a lot of work to do. So in this time and age where everything is so stressful for us also, I suggest the most important thing that we can do as parents is to spend half an hour every night while you're, you know, putting them to bed, having conversations with them, so the children are comfortable talking to you. I feel like it should be a very, very important part since a young age. So open communication, be aware of their body language, always be in communication with the teachers and friends. I feel like it's very important for parents to know what kind of friends do the children have. And I think what we could do with this podcast is we could start off with bullying in in elementary school, then in middle school, and then in high school. And then we can, you know, have different specific examples to deal with the different cases. So, open communication, being in touch with the teachers, just be aware of your child. And so the children also, they don't feel afraid talking, because normally usually if a child is getting bullied, the bully can instill some kind of fear in them. Hey, if you go tell your parents, I'm going to take your favorite car away, right? Or I'm going to punch you in the face, or I'm going to find you in the bathroom and I'm going to hurt you, right? So they use these threatening words to scare off the child. And, you know, elementary school children, they don't know any better. So they might not even tell if you ask them just once. So I feel like being persistent, I feel like, talking to them gently, like, I've noticed you don't like school anymore. What's going on? Or is there something that I could do to help you? Just those kind words, just giving them a comfort zone. And I feel like for all children, their comfort space should be their home with their parents, that they feel comfortable talking about it. Once the child does talk to them about it, it's very, very important for us parents to immediately contact the school, because so many incidences have happened in which children have taken their lives because they're being bullied so much. And there is zero tolerance in schools. There are some wonderful resources that have come up, and bullying is now considered even a reason for expulsion. So just giving them reassurance, making sure that when the child goes back to school, all the authorities are involved and they feel comfortable and they're back, on track.
Well, that's great. So just, a couple of things I picked up. So one, really looking out for signs that your child has been bullied. And those signs could be anywhere from, the reluctance to go to school, just overall disenchantment in doing activities,
physical symptoms,
uh-huh. Exactly. So that's the first thing. Step one is being able to identify. Second step is really having that communication. Now, what you recommend is having this 30-minute dialogue with the kid, with your child every night. I think that's something that should be looked into. And I think the most importantly, once the child is communicated to you about bullying, to respond proactively and immediately. And this is where you can not only involve school authorities, but I would say even the parents, the teachers' association perhaps could be involved as well. So identifying, having the communication with the child and responding immediately. I think those are some of the tools that the parents can employ.
Right, and I also feel like in this time and age, it's everything is on social media, Instagram. We ourselves suffer from phone addictions, and one thing that I feel like as parents we need to be very aware in teaching our children is empathy. And I just kind of want to back up a little. Empathy just be aware of other people's feelings. If our faces are hid behind electronics and phones and video games, you are actually not looking at and making eye contacts. So we don't know how your words are affecting other people, and then we will not be very empathetic towards feelings. So I feel like it all begins, you know, from that right up to the point where they say something unkind without even understanding what their words can impact, how their words can impact their friend. So you know, basically that's where it all begins. And in elementary school, usually it's more verbal, but you know, if you want, we can talk a little about the kinds of types of bullying. I feel like that's also very, very important. There is physical, there's verbal bullying, there is physical bullying, you know, usually in middle schoolers. Children are older, their bodies are going through internal and external changes, there's some hormonal changes going on, so aggression can be more rampantly seen in children who are in middle school, and that is something that I feel like middle school is a very, very sensitive time for children, as it is. They're developing as individuals. They're considered neither children nor adults. So it's a confused state of mind for them. And I feel like those 3 years, right up to sixth grade, from sixth to eighth grade, I think it's very, very important for parents to just watch them like a hawk, as I say. I joke with my kids that I have two eyes in the back. I don't know how long they're going to believe that, but so far they do. So I always tell them that you guys don't tell me, I will figure out ways to find out myself.
So I think you talked about the use of social media, and that can be actually a tool to perpetuate bullying as well.
Mm-hmm.
How can parents, caregivers identify or protect the children against bullying when it comes to social media?
That is a very, very good question, and that is a very important question that is even brought up in my practice a lot. In fact, I would like to share this one case about a child who was some photographs of this child while she was changing in the girls' changing room. Got circulated on social media, which and this is like an honor roll student, you know, excellent in sports, excellent at her academics, loved by everyone, but you know, statistically girls usually use social media as a way to bully. If you compare it to boys usually use physical and verbal aggression as a means for bullying, but for girls it's more social media usage, as well as social bullying, which we can talk a little bit more in detail about social bullying. But so this girl, it became a pretty bad situation. She refused to go to school. She even tried to commit suicide, actually. It's very sad. And she cut her wrists, and she just didn't want to have anything to do with school or her friends, or she just wanted to be homeschooled. So in that situation, when things get out of hand, I feel like it becomes very, very tough for parents. I always advise parents to monitor the social media, make sure that they have all kinds of parental controls, and honestly, not really allow too much of the social media till they are able to understand what's right and what's wrong. So I feel like that is something which is extremely important to protect their kids.
Okay. No, that's very useful. Thank you for that. Now let's turn the tables here for a second, and really understand the perspective of a bully. So, you know, why does a child bully in the first place? And as caregivers or parents, how can we identify if our child is a bully?
So basically, children who bully, they use their power. So basically, it's kind of like attainment of power. So it could be they can use physical strength, access to any embarrassing information, and they use that power to harm others, right? So it is extremely important for us to understand the bully as well, because you know, it could be there could be a reason that this is are they doing for attention? What is the situation in their houses? Are their parents going through a tough time? Is there any, God forbid, abuse happening to them in the house, and they're using that as a coping mechanism to treat other kids who are quote unquote weak. It's basically an imbalance of power, and they happen in different situations. I always think about the bully, because you know, nobody is born a bully. I feel like nobody is born a mean person or a bad person. I feel something happens that makes them want to take that control. And the only way they would want to take that control is by looking for another person's weakness and use it against them. I feel like that is the main psychology that should be explored for any child who is the bully. If I don't know if that makes sense, and
no, thank you. This certainly helps. coming to the close of our discussion here, one thing I'd like to just touch upon is for people who are in the working environment,
mm-hmm.
and what is that workplace bullying could look like, and do you have any tools or tips for us how to manage ourselves when that happens?
That's a very, very good question, and I feel like it is a very fine line between being especially in work environment, I feel like it's a very fine line between a bully and a person who wants to take charge and get things done. Now, because of the labor laws and all the other benefits that all employers have, I feel like sometimes it is difficult to identify as an employee that you are being bullied. And this is what I tell all my patients, that if you feel that another person's behavior is affecting your mental health, it's giving you anxiety, you're dreading going to work, you feel like your performance has gone down because of a certain person's, the way they talk to you, or they comment on maybe your weight. I for example, I saw this slightly older lady who came to me in so much distress because she was a little overweight. They spread a rumor that she was pregnant. And now this is a woman who can't have kids. And that is a very, very sensitive topic of discussion for her. And everybody started talking about, she's probably 3 months pregnant or 4 months pregnant. This really affected her. And she felt like, when she went, it was taken off as a joke, and she just did not like going to work, started having physical symptoms, panic attacks and anxiety every morning, thinking about what comments will be, will she be hearing. And unfortunately, the HR was also not very responsive because it was all a joke. So, it's a very fine line. We just need to be very cognizant of our own perceptions. I feel it's very important that somebody's words, how are they affecting us? And if it is affecting our day-to-day living and our performance at work or in general, you know, our happiness, of course, then this is something which is not normal.
Great. Thank you. Well, I think this has been a very informative session. I think I've learned quite a bit, and I'm sure that our audience has gained quite a bit of perspective here. And I'm hoping that this would be a start of a dialogue with them. It is an issue that is very much close to a lot of us. So certainly I think this is very timely. Dr. J, how can people get in touch with you? How can they connect with you as we go forward?
So my website, you know, it is at the end of the show, maybe we can post it.
Yeah.
I am accessible through there. You know, I see patients. I have a practice in the energy corridor. I see anybody from 6 to 65, pretty much take most of the insurances. I am always there, happy to help. And don't ever think that, you know, you're not good enough. I feel like it's very important to love yourself. And if you feel like you're suffering, just pick up the phone and call, because there will always be somebody wanting to listen to you.
Great. Well, thank you. And with that note, I'll wrap up. Again, just a couple of things I learned that I'm taking away here. One is clearly that the different forms of bullying, it's not just physical, it can be verbal, it can be emotional. There are different vehicles of perpetuating bullying. Social media comes to mind here. So that's one. The other thing is the different, there's some sort of a gender element here as well, that where we find that girls or females are more prone to verbal abuse versus males who can be prone to more of physical aggression. And again, depending on which where they are they in the primary school, are they in the elementary, are they in this in the middle school or later. And with that, I think what I found was very useful was around the coping mechanism. So being able to identify those different forms of bullying, being able to identify your child's behavior being off as a first step. Second is having the communication. And third, really making sure that you respond quickly and assertively with the school authorities, with those who are responsible or who can help alleviate this challenge. And that's it, folks. And we will be back next in the next episode, and we will be discussing another mental health related issue. Until then, thank you and have a great one.